If you think back 19 years ago, we started this in Putnam Refractory, which was a smaller venue. We, at the time, I think when we first started, we did the recipe contest in the morning where we had maybe 6 or 7 people who participated in recipes, and then in the boiling point, we probably had somewhere around 6 or 7 teams. And since then, we outgrew that venue. We moved here to Rome Ballroom, which is a huge facility. We now have, you know, well over 14 recipes in the morning and 36 chefs competing in the afternoon, 12 teams. I think the maximum we ever had was 16 teams. It's open to the public. As you can see, when you look around now, there's hundreds of people here, whereas when we did it at Putnam, you were lucky if you had a couple dozen. It's just kind of taken on its own, you know, momentum.
Team 1 from the McMahon Residence Hall dining facility included veteran chefs Scott Chapman, Susan Chang, and Charlie Strong. They received their instructions and began to cook with ingredients from the mystery basket that included cooked duck parts, black bean, sweet potato mash, goat cheese, Indian pickled vegetable, and a jelly donut. They also could use items from a pantry stocked with a variety of ingredients set up for the competition. Chapman talked with reporters as they began.
All right, station 1. There's your ingredients right there. There's your pantry. You can pick any of the pantry ingredients to use for your tapas. Time starts now.
You're going to do this?
Yeah.
You're going to do the duck. Okay.
Duck.
Awesome.
Pickle.
And the Indian pickles.
Make a ravioli.
Ravioli, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Okay.
All right.
How are you feeling right now? How do you feel about these ingredients?
There's a lot of different things you can go with. You can go with, you know, something more gourmet or something traditional. I think with the dessert, you can go traditional. With the duck, we're going to do something gourmet. We're going to make a homemade ravioli with it.
You say this one is tougher than last?
I think this is one of the toughest ones we've had. Because it's not like you've got a duck breast or anything. I mean, this is a fully cooked duck leg. We can shred it and heat it up and then just cook it once and have it plated. So jelly donut is out of this world. That's something that's off the charts. That's why we took the chambord, because we figure we can make a dessert with that, with the chambord and the jelly donut. How to incorporate it into something is a different story.
Is this more like a Chopped than an Iron Chef?
Yeah, it's becoming more like Chopped. I think in the beginning when we started doing it, it was more like Iron Chef, where we got some really nice, not off-the-wall things. Now we're getting ham sandwich and a jelly donut. What do you do? That is more like Chopped, right?
I remember one year when venison was the secret ingredient.
Yes. And, we had beef jerky.
Beef jerky, yeah.
Yeah, we had beef jerky one year.
Standard egg wash. I have no idea how these are going to come out.
That'll be to take care of the ravioli and seal them up.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to know what you're doing.
So I took, fresh tomatoes, peppers, and I took a little salsa, and I just got some sweet chili sauce. This is going to be, I don't know how it's going to taste, but it's an interesting combination.
It is?
Yes. It'll be almost like a cold salsa. Hand fry those and put this on the bottom. Put this just a little bit, have this like for a little dipping sauce, right? I think it's here, right here. That's beautiful. That's good. It's like a sweet chili salsa. I think it's good. It's gonna have to do.
Two of the judges are veterans with the Culinary Olympics at UConn who will return for this year's competition. Christopher Prosperi is the chef and owner of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury. He is a familiar figure in the state food industry from his Hartford Current column, as host of New England Cuisine on NBC 30, and with Faith Middleton's Food Schmooze on WNPR. Rand Richards Cooper is a longtime food and travel writer who is also a New York Times food critic. I spoke to Prosperi and Cooper as they observed the chefs working during the competition. We'll first hear from Prosperi and then some kitchen sounds before he and Cooper.
this has got to be my 15th year judging this. And the one thing I notice every single year is the chefs they get better and better and better. I mean, the quality of the food at this school is as high as any restaurant. And the fact that they're doing that number, right? What did you say?
$185,000 a week.
A week, right? And they're doing it at the level of restaurants now. You got to admit, that's really impressive.
What do you look for when you are judging?
What I look for is creativity first. Of course, using the right crazy ingredients he gives them every year. They have to incorporate that. But creativity, and number one is taste, right? It's got to taste good, and it's got to all make sense together. So the ones that, in my mind, that always win are the ones that give us three tapas, and it's like telling a story, right? So they all make sense going together. They're creative, and they use all those ingredients that they get in their mystery basket.
And what is it you're making, I hear?
It's going to be a stuffing for a croquette.
Okay. So there's pineapple?
Pineapple, garlic, onion, scallion, and then some spices are going to be thrown in.
Okay.
This kind of challenge requires a chef to have a real big background knowledge so that you know from experience, you know, what kinds of proteins combined with other sorts of complementary ingredients. A chef, a kitchen cook like me, you know, would quake in terror faced with this stuff. And what am I going to do with a jelly donut except have you eat it? So what I'm really impressed by is how over the years, chefs will take ingredients that they've never cooked with before. You know, whether it's sea urchin or, I don't know, or a snowball, Hostess snowball, and they'll figure out what to do with it in a way that doesn't hide it, but sort of normalizes it and makes you think, when you taste it, wow, I never knew you could do that with X. And so I love seeing that. It's really the definition of grace under pressure. Very cool.
So as we look at the table or the pantry, for the chefs, we have basil, cayenne pepper, chili powder, coriander, dill, ginger, sage, chipotle chili, thyme, paprika, Italian seasoned, sesame seed, rosemary, poppy seed, and black pepper. There's all manner of pasta and rice, grains, flour concoctions. And there's onions, peppers, celery, asparagus, eggs, and all sorts of milk and dairy products as well.
It's actually the Wheel of Misfortune, which is another group of oddball ingredients that chefs can purchase for between $1 and $7 of culinary bucks, based on where the wheel lands. The groups included leftover pizza, rice paper wrappers, a leftover ham sandwich, an avocado, and other selections.
Two, one, put down your spatulas. And in first place, 2019 Boiling Point Champions, and bragging rights for the next year, team number 5 from Union Street Market.
The winners last year were team 5 from Union Street Market, the main dining facility in the Student Union. The team included Allison Reed, Tom Simmons, and Trevor Flanagan, who created tapas of Indian pickle hummus with pita chips, Korean duck crostini, and a sweet potato parfait.
It's awesome. I've competed several times and never placed, and we're sitting there thinking, no, we didn't win, and then they said our team name, and here we are.
What were you thinking when you saw the ingredients that you had to work with, which is a little bit of a curveball, and then you had to make it happen?
It was the worst pick that we had. It was the worst bit of ingredients that we had to work with, but we came out on top.
The Indian pickles definitely threw me for a loop.
What do you think did it?
Teamwork,
yes. We all definitely put a touch on each dish, and we were sharing, tasting, and
exactly, yeah.
We did a good job.